This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Something that is done only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, then we come up from the bowing. So we have completed the bowing. And it's very important that at each stage of the salah, you rest. You let your bones come to rest. That you take that time. You should not be moving so quickly that you do not rest and pause in each movement. This is the minimum type of physical stillness that you must reach in your salah. So we'll take a break now and we'll come back to you in a few minutes.
Marriage or divorce?
What's Islamic ruling?
Nikah.
Solution or problem? Heaven or hell?
There is a misconception.
You choose. Beauty, wealth, family status, virtue. Decide what you want. Decide your choice. Be sad or be happy. It's your choice. Join Dr. Zakir Naik in Better Half or Bitter Half tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. and repeat telecast at 9:30 a.m. India on Peace TV.
In our search for true peace and the secret of life found only in Islam, it is important for us to highlight the permissible over the prohibited. So if you busy yourself with the do's, you don't have time to do the don'ts. So with this positive attitude, it makes it easier for you to call people to the truth found only in Islam. So join me, Arif Islam, as we go through the series, True Peace, The Secret of Life, only on Peace TV.
Proceed with the guidelines that lead towards everlasting happiness in True Peace, The Secret of Life. Tomorrow at 8 p.m. and repeat telecast at 8:30 a.m. Saudi Arabia on Peace TV. Distinguished world-famous orator who dedicated their lives to convey the message of peace came together at one platform, the International Islamic Conference, with one vision, with one mission, peace mission.
I welcome all of you with Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Peace Mission, next on Peace TV.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome back. We're talking about the ruku and the sujood. We're going on discussing the state, the inner condition that we should feel during a salah. So we've talked about ruku, and now we're coming up from the ruku. We mentioned that we should be still in that position, and then we come up. Now this rising up again, coming to that position of standing, is one of those moments of hope that we've been describing, because we described the states in prayer, the conscious awareness, a minimum state of being totally focused on what is going on, understanding, and that's why we've been explaining Surah Al-Fatiha to you, explaining what does it mean, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Now, when we come up, one of the things that we feel, of course, all the time, we should be feeling this awe and this reverence. And there is also this dimension of hope as well. Hope is, this is something, a movement of hope, because we say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, which means that Allah hears the one who praises him. And then we say, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Oh, our Lord, to you is the praise. So we are hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this from us. He hears the one who praises him, so we are praising him. And in that is the hope and the expectation of the reward and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By the way, what is the reward and the blessing of that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us another beautiful dimension of praying in jama'ah is that if you're saying Rabbana wa lakal hamd, coincides with that of the imam, also this is a means for your sins to be forgiven. Look at these, subhanallah, many opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in our salah for our sins to be forgiven, subhanallah. What a blessing. How deprived we are if we have abandoned this important connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. And there are other things you can add, you know, hamdan, kathiran, tayyiban, barakan, fi, and other things that you can add to this, but let's just concentrate on the basics, insha'Allah. So we come up, Rabbana wa lakal hamd, and then again, Allahu Akbar. And then we go into the prostration. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would prostrate himself on his palms, and he would put his fingers together and point them towards the Qibla. And I think we can figure out for ourselves the wisdom behind that, how this is all creating this focus in our mind, as our body, our fingers, our toes also should be pointing towards Qibla. This is also creating this inner state. And he would put them level with his shoulder, or sometimes with his ears. So sometimes level with the ears, or sometimes level with the shoulder. And he would put his face and hands down firmly. And then he would stay in that until all the bones are relaxed and in that position. And subhanAllah, no prayer for the one who does not feel as much ground on his nose as his forehead. So one should press one's nose also into the ground. You do not prostrate just on your forehead. Here, you prostrate on the forehead and on the nose, both of them. This is the correct way of prostrating. And he used to put his knees down firmly. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also. And these are the limbs on which he would prostrate. The feet, the knees, the palms, and the forehead and the nose. And then what the Prophet ﷺ would do, he would keep his forearms away from the ground. He would not lean them on the ground. And the Prophet ﷺ talked about this is like a dog with their forearms on the ground. You should not be like that. And the Prophet prohibited someone leaning their arms on the ground. And this has been prohibited. Rather, the Prophet ﷺ would keep his arms away from his sides. He would keep them away from his sides. And even they could see the whiteness of the armpits of the Prophet, so that even a lamb or a small goat could crawl underneath. Meaning, this is to describe how he would keep his arms away. Now, why is that, brothers and sisters? Well, I suggest that you actually try doing it. Because when you try doing it, you will feel it for yourself. You will see that how by taking that position, you, subhanAllah, are forced more strongly into this position of sajda. Now this position of sajda, brothers and sisters, of course, is the ultimate position of humility. It is the ultimate position of humility. So, subhanAllah, we have taken this part of our body, that is the highest part of our body, and we have put that part of our body, the head, on the ground, forcing it onto the ground. So this is actually more a position of humility than lying flat. Because actually, when you make sajda, you're forcing the head onto the ground in a way that you can't if you just lie flat. I'm only saying that because, subhanAllah, I heard some Christians and arguing that no, lying out flat is more humiliating. No, the sajda is definitely, the prostration is definitely more of a position of humility, because one forces this head onto the ground. And the Prophet ﷺ often used to prostrate in the dust. And this engenders within us, brothers, it should engender within us humility. What are we, brothers and sisters? What are we made from? What is our origin? The other thing to think about is this head is the locus of the intellect. This distinguishing feature of the human being. This intellect, unfortunately, that people think so much about it, that even it allows some people in a misguided way to think that they know more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sajda is a reminder that however great your intellect is, however amazing your mind is, it is nothing compared to the wisdom and the knowledge and the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a reflection again of an attitude that as a believer, we are always submitting our intellect to the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our intellect can never be greater than the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why...